Good morning. Jesus says, "I come that you might have life and have it more abundantly." Jesus came to show us how to live. He came to make it possible for us to have life above the common, life above the ordinary, life at its best. To have this good life, we must live life on His terms, by His standards. This is the message of Psalm 1, how to find the good life. Psalm 1 is about two roads, two ways. One leads to the good life, life eternal, the other to destruction. Jeremiah speaks of the same two choices. Jesus spoke of these two ways when he said, "Enter through the narrow, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to eternal life." Matthew 7:13-14. Then in John 14:6, Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Jesus ends the Sermon on the Mount with the parable of the wise man and the foolish man. One makes wise choices and builds his life on the rock, on solid biblical principles, and the foolish man builds his life on the principles of the world. But when trouble came, and they always do, the wise man's life stood firm. When judgment day came, the wise man had nothing to fear, but the foolish man was left without help or hope. This little poem says it this way, "To every man there openeth a way and a ways and a way. And the high soul take the highway, and the low soul gropes the low. And in between on the misty flats, the rest drift to and fro. But to every man there openeth a highway and a low. And every man decideth the way his soul shall go." I believe Psalm 1 is begging us to make the right choice. Like Joshua of old, we must choose today whom we will serve. We must make this choice every day we live. So friends, let's examine David's argument for the way of the Lord, the way of the good life. Note with me a couple of things about the Hebrew word translated blessed. First, this word speaks to us of happiness that does not depend upon situation and circumstances in life for that happiness. The word is used some 40 times in the Old Testament, and speaks to us of a happiness that comes from a right relationship with God, not our circumstances. Is it possible to be happy, even in tough times, even when circumstances and situations are unfavorable? Jesus said, "Blessed, happy are those who are persecuted for the sake of righteousness." James says, "Consider it pure joy whenever you face trials of many kinds." Peter wrote, "Rejoice, because for a little while you may have had to suffer all kinds of trials." This is the happiness I want, don't you? A happiness, a blessedness, that is ours regardless of the situation or circumstance in life. The second thing we note about this word blessed is that it's in the plural. You see, God never blesses with a single blessing. It is impossible for us to count His blessings. All of life is His blessing. His blessings go on regardless of the current situation and circumstance. Now, friends, David turns his look at the good life to the negative with three statements. First, he says the good life is impossible if we walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Walk here speaks to us of a lifestyle. We must not live our life according to the advice of the world. We must not allow the world to force us, squeeze us into its mold. Genuine happiness occurs when we listen to God and conform to His will, rather than allowing the world to squeeze us into its way of thinking. Now, friends, who controls your life? Who controls my life? The world? The counsel of the ungodly? Or the Word of God? Where do we get our advice? Who do we listen to? Who shapes our values and morals? Listen, friends, if God is in control, then that means every day, everything, every challenge, every thought and action are placed under God's will through His Word. Secondly, David says, "Do not stand in the way of sinners." Sinners are those who have already turned from God, those who habitually miss the mark and don't care any longer. They are the ones who have knowingly, determinedly, purposely chosen the wrong road and are set on remaining on that road. David is not talking about those who are striving to live for God and fall into sin. David is talking about those who intentionally have chosen to live outside the will of God. To stand with someone is to adopt their way of life. Paul tells us that evil companions corrupt good manners or good morals. Lot fellowshiped, associated, stood with the people of Sodom. And that association That companionship brought him nothing but sadness, certainly not happiness, certainly not the good life. The third negative is setting in the seat of scoffers, mockers. I believe David is speaking of the arrogant and cynical, those who would characterize themselves today as free thinkers, those whose pride has allowed them to think that they are better, wiser, more tolerant, and more merciful than God. Do you know anybody like that today? Of course, our world is filled with them. They treat with ridicule that which is holy, good, and sacred. They see and try to convince others that God is ugly, mean, harsh, and intolerant. They are contemptuous in their thought and speech concerning God. Solomon says, such scoffers never listen to rebuke. A wise son heeds his father's instructions, but a mocker does not listen to rebuke. David tells us that the good life can never be found associating with such people, nor in participating in their wickedness. Now we turn the lesson to the positive side, genuine joy, happiness, the blessed life that is found in the law of the Lord and in our appreciation of it. Law in our English Bibles is a translation of the Hebrew word Torah. This word is difficult to translate. Generally, it means all the wisdom of God, the sum total of God's Word. The Word of God does not just contain truth, it is truth, all of it. It was inspired of God, God-breathed and inerrant. You see, if the Word of God only contains truth, then you can have your truth and I can have mine. We can pick and choose our truth. But if the total sum of His Word is truth, then we are all regulated by the same truth. Listen to these admonitions about how we should handle the Word of Truth. Psalm 119 and verse 105, Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. Deuteronomy 16, 6 through 9, These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. Joshua 1, verse 8, Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. In John chapter 8, 31 and 32, Jesus says, If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Then in John 17, 17, Jesus says, Sanctify them by thy truth, for thy word is truth. In 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17, Paul says all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God, or God-breathed, and is useful for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. What is our attitude toward the Word of God? David tells us that we are to delight in it. We are to come to the Word of God with joy and gladness. We are to look forward to our time in Scripture. Next, David says we are to meditate in the Word. To meditate means to muse or ponder, to think about deeply. The Hebrew word translated meditate literally means to mutter, to mumble. It was a word used to speak of memorizing passages. The old Jews would be seen moving their lips, muttering the words in order to memorize them. For those who delight in the law of the Lord, this meditation never ends. Those who delight in the law of the Lord are in it day and night. They never get their fill. They can never learn enough. Whenever we need help, whenever we need direction, whenever we need advice, where do we turn? I hope it's to the Word of God, because it will lead us into the good life. It will sanctify us and set us free. Verse 3 gives four promises for those who will live by the Word. First of all, He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yield its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. The life of the lover of God's Word is as stable as a tree planted by the river. His life is good. His life is a blessing to others, because regardless of the situation and circumstance, his life is constantly nourished by his relationship with God through His Word. He produces fruit in its season. What fruit's David speaking of? The fruit of righteousness, the fruit of the Spirit, of course, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. His leaves never fade. David is describing an evergreen tree. Did you know that the Christian is an evergreen? His leaves are always green. His life is always an example of Christ-likeness. David is saying whenever you look at the man of God, You can always see the goodness. You always see the righteousness of Jesus in him. This is what allowed Paul to say, "It is no longer me you see, but Christ living in me. And whatever he does will prosper." The tree is the Christian. The water is the Word of God. The fruit is the fruit of the Spirit. The leaves are his acts of righteousness. And all that he does will prosper. All his acts of goodwill always bring the right result. All that he does spiritually will be a blessing to those around him. The man of God will accomplish his task, the work God intended him to accomplish. Paul put it in these words, "Be steadfast and firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because your labor in the Lord is not in vain. It will be successful." Jesus gives us a glimpse of how this works when he said, "I am the true vine. You are the branches. My Father is the gardener. Every branch that bears fruit he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. Remain in me and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. Apart from me, you can do nothing. This is my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples." Next, David lets us see the fate of the wicked. "Not so the wicked," David says. "They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish." The chaff from the threshing floor was good for nothing. The fate of the chaff was to be scattered by the wind or burned in the fire. So it is with the ungodly, those who reject God and his word. I believe Hosea 13 and verse 3 gives us a glimpse of the wicked's fate. "Therefore they will be like the morning mist, there for a little while, then is gone. Like the early dew that disappears. Like the chaff swirling from the threshing floor. Like the smoke escaping from a chimney." One more time before he closes, David lets us know that God's eye is over the righteous. "For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." Jesus is heard saying, "I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me." Paul wrote, "The Lord knows those who are his." The Hebrew writer tells us that God is always with us, that he will never forsake us. Well, friends, each of us frequently stands at the fork of the road. Which will we take? The one that leads to the good life, to spiritual prosperity, or the one that leads to dissatisfaction and destruction? If you this morning want to choose the way that leads to the good life, the blessed life here, and the life eternal, come walk in the way of the Lord. By faith, Hebrews 11 verse 6 says, "He that cometh to me must believe that he is." Repentance, Luke 13 and verse 1, and New Testament baptism, Romans 6. Friends, we want to help you in that walk. And if we can assist you, please let us know. And until next week, may God bless and keep you.